Welcome to Tight Lifestyle. Happy Friday from me and my brother, Big Drew.
What's up, guys? That's right. This is Friday, Tight Lifestyle. We do this every week at 2 p.m. live. And if you don't catch us in the live, you can always rewatch it later on Facebook, Instagram, and John said YouTube. And we also have a podcast.
Man.
But let's just jump right into it right now, see who's on. It's the first time we like to do give shout-outs.
Yes.
Let's see who's on right now.
Mary Weeble, Smashing, Jason, Muhammad, Sparkty, Jim Elliott, what's going on, brother?
Big Jerk 63.
Yes, Chad the Barber in the house. What's going on? SSTG.4, Soul Savage. So, we are here with you guys, like Drew said, every Friday, 2 p.m. And we're here for, you know, answering questions, giving some good insight on some of these different things that you guys might have questions on. Whether it's any therapy that we offer here or a service, from hormone replacement therapy, medical weight loss, vitamin amino acid injectable therapies, rejuvenation detox, libido enhancers, peptide therapies, and blood work.
And more.
And more.
And more. Food and more. Sensitivity testing.
Yes.
We got IV drips. You guys get hungover, can come in, get a bag, feel it's a lot true. Better. We got a lot of stuff.
True.
We talk about the main ones a lot, but there's so much other stuff we do too. So if you guys check out the wipes at tightmedicalcenter.com, you can see everything we have to offer. Most of our popular stuff is what we always talk about.
Of course.
But we have a lot. Like we have a lot of stuff. We have stuff for your hair, skin, nails, I mean everything.
So, and we're going to keep adding on more therapies and more services too. So I'm excited about that. So yeah, man. So if you guys got questions or, hey, listen, if you guys don't want to talk about therapies or anything like that, you guys want to talk about muscle building, losing weight, better concentration, better sleep. Maybe you don't know and you're just like trying to find out. Give us some questions. We'll start answering them. So at that point, would BPC-157 work for a torn rotator cuff? Steve-O asked us on TikTok. So, you know, a lot of patients that have shoulder problems, whether it's rotator cuffs, labrum tears, you know, muscles, skin, tendons, joints, you're going to really look at BPC-157 and TB-500. Now, for me, I've had great success with BPC-157 and so have a lot of other different patients. And it's been in a numerous amount of ways. Like I said, knees, elbows, golf elbow, tennis elbow, shoulder problems, inflammation in general. I mean, there's a lot of things that go along with this. So, you know, I'm not going to say yes, 1,000,000%, but yes. As far as that goes, it has helped other patients achieve this result. It has helped me get past the tears.
Yeah.
But when I went into the orthopedic, he told me, he's like, listen, he's like, you have no cartilage or bone on bone. Mm-hmm. He's like, you have no tears. Your rotator cuff is fine now. Because I had a slap tear before the labrum. That's fine. But at that point, I have no cartilage. So he's like, you're going to need a shoulder replacement, full shoulder replacement. Mm. And with all the arthritis too, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm 43. I can't get this shoulder replacement right now. Yeah. So I'm using BPC-157 and TB-500 in the meantime.
Yeah. So basically, it helps with cartilage and tendon repair. With the cartilage and tendon isn't there.
It can't
repair. So that's a good, not a good answer, but it's a good something to state out because a lot of people have where their shoulder is completely gone.
Right.
Or the tendons or cartilage are completely shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll help if it's damaged, but I don't think, I mean, there's nothing, it's not going to regrow a tendon or regrow cartilage.
No. I wish it did. But I mean, as far as that goes, like I'm still able to lift every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm still able to bench press, you know, the bar, the dumbbells, the machines. Do I have limited amount of mobility? Yeah. I mean, as long as I lift correctly and I'm not going crazy, but I'm still able to hit 275 on the bench 10 to 12 times. No problem. Keep going up if I really wanted to, but I want to put more stress and damage on it. So just go how you feel.
That's another reason why people can catch it now early. You know, if you catch it now early, you start feeling early, fix the problem rather than just grind it and, you know, kind of like what I did.
Yeah.
I felt pains earlier. I just push through it or no pain, no gain, and just deal with it, which isn't smart at all.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, if they have pain, any type of pain, figure out what it is. Don't just push through it. If it's a muscle pain because it's a pump and lactic acid is burning, that's one thing. But if you feel tweaks or pulls or actual ligament pains, you don't want to just be a beast and push through it.
Absolutely.
Because all you're going to do is have a great video and then you're going to have a torn shoulder or blasted elbow.
Oh, man.
Like I made that mistake a couple years ago.
It happens.
You know, I was doing a Titan video. John was there. Max Charles was there. I was doing a Titan video and I started out with three plates, one arm and three plates on a preacher curl, just because I could do it. You know, I was all amped up and popped my bicep. So.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Like, you have the strength to do it. you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, a lot of times people's tendons and ligaments aren't strong enough. So especially if someone's new to weightlifting,
yeah,
or if they're new to starting, you know, HRT or new to eating well or training well,
yeah,
they get too strong faster than their ligaments. And
it's true.
You know, that's how you get injured. That's why people see me in the gym. Why are you warming up so long?
Yeah.
I like to be sweaty before I even get to the weight.
Right.
Avoid that problem. I may not lift this heavy weight, but it's a lot safer if I'm pre-exhausted and warmed up before I go.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, unless you're really going for, like, you know, your powerlifting title or anything like that. Like, okay, yeah, the ego needs to get out of it. As you get older, you start lessening that ego, I think, because you don't want to be in pain the next day.
Yeah.
You know?
Another thing, too, is powerlifters and those strong men and stuff like that, they train for that. Bodybuilders are, you know, typical progressive overload type lifters.
Yep.
We're not training for that. So for us to go in and just do one time, our body, I mean, if you've been training for 10 years and you've never done a one rep max, then now you try, you're not trained for it. So your body is used to, you know, squeezing through the movements and feeling it out. So a lot of bodybuilders try to, they try to lift like a bodybuilder, but powerlifter weight, and that's it just doesn't work. It's not good.
Recipe for disaster.
Yeah, if you're looking at changing the mirror, don't worry about the weight so much and worry about the form and all that, you know.
It's true. The strength will
even
come.
Mike, you know, you see Mike O'Hearn, strong guy, old, super strong, doesn't get injured, but he's lifting that crazy amount of weight with strict form.
It's crazy.
So it's not like he's lifting 500 pounds and slinging it around and doing 315 behind the neck.
Right.
He's controlling it. He doesn't have wrist wraps. He doesn't, he's controlling it through the movement. So that's a clear example of how you're supposed to work out,
yeah,
rather than just slang out and just throwing weight around. The next thing you know, you pop something, and all you do is have a million views, but now you have a million problems,
right?
And you can't go to the gym,
right? It sucks. I mean, getting injured, being sick, whatever it is, that puts you down, right? Yeah. So you want to do everything not to do that. And Mike is a perfect example. Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything like that.
Like, yeah, it's like a robot.
I was doing it. Yeah. I call him Machine Duke, because I'm like, dude, you're like Machine. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Illmatic, what's going on? Next question from BBQ and Biceps. What supplements best support enclomiphene?
Support enclomiphene?
So, you know, my when I'd seen this, my sub question to you would be, all right, are you talking about just taking enclomiphene by itself and trying to increase the efficiency of the enclomiphene therapy? Or are you asking, hey, listen, I'm taking enclomiphene right now. It's naturally boosting my testosterone. What else can I take with it that's going to maybe be the best complement? You tell us what the answer to that is, and then we can really get into this and dive deep.
It looks like it almost means what supplements are best to run along with it.
Right, best support,
rather than support,
right?
Yeah, support it. If he's not doing HRT, I mean, that kind of goes with it. They kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah. If you're just taking enclomiphene, though, like, you know, anything, you know, it's going to really complement it, whether it's our Hercules potion, Titan Complete. I mean, ECAs, it really depends on what you're really trying to go after here. You know, are you trying to gain more lean muscle? Are you trying to lose weight? Or, you know, so at that point, like, there's some questions to go along with this, I think, that we can better understand it.
Also, what are you using the enclomiphene for? A lot of times people get into Google search and stuff. Now they hear a name, they Google it, they read what it does. Mm-hmm. What are you taking enclomiphene for? We use it here at Titan Medical to get your levels and everything, natural levels, better. But what are you using it for? Because certain people, you might use it correctly, but certain people, they use stuff for different reasons.
This is true.
I've heard of people say, I'm using enclomiphene for, I mean, it could be anything, appetite or something like that. We have other stuff for that. So what are you using it for first? But HRT and enclomiphene go hand in hand.
Absolutely. Hi, Rennie, what's going on? Ben, what's going on? Marco, how you doing? Darwin, Futures, Ms. Jenkins.
YG Lee. Yeah. YG Lee's always got. He said, I'm scared to come see you guys in person. You guys have way too many fine females to work for y'all. Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, our staff represents, you know, the company image. Let's put it that way. Yeah. We want to make sure people are looking good, feeling good, and performing their best. And most of the girls, I would say here, live the lifestyle of some sort. They're eating good. They're eating decent. They're all trained pretty much.
Yeah, we know our staff is looks good and is in shape. If we have a fashion show, we could pull any of the girls in the office to do the fashion show. And we do sometimes, and they kill it, and they do well.
True.
So, yeah, it's definitely a clean look here at Titan.
Absolutely.
Clean, healthy look.
High standard. Hell yeah. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
You can't be a divorced marriage counselor.
No.
So you gotta play the part, look the part.
Absolutely. Yeah. Glorious Gabby, what's going on? Chatty Catley, what's up? All right, so the next one's from Jim Elliott. Do you think BPC 157 and TB 500 can actually heal a labrum? Been dealing with a torn labrum tear for years, and it's been really bothering me.
Good question.
Jim, I don't want to tell you yes, guaranteed. Yeah, I wouldn't say it to anybody. Would I think it would definitely help and possibly heal those tears? Possibly. Like I said, I had a slap tear. I had tears in my shoulder, and I have the MRIs to prove it. I've been on it. It definitely got rid of all the tears for me. I know other people have had labrum tears or even rotator cuff tears and utilized BPC-157 and TB-500 and got past that. So, listen, what I would do is I would look for somebody local to you. I would do PRP in the joint area. Make sure it's like an orthopedic specialist or something around those terms. Use the BPC-157 and TB-500. If they're a really cool doctor, they'll utilize being able to use everything and inject it right into that area. That's going to be your best thing. The other thing is, I mean, I know there's people out there that do stem cells. If you're going to do that right into the joint, I mean, that's going to be the best. I'm going to give you guys all the options, even if you guys can't come to us directly and get some of these services, which we will be offering soon. But at that point, that's what I would do. And BPC-157, TB-500 could be your first site. Hey, listen, let me just go through this before I do any of the other stuff. Because PRP, I think you'd find fairly inexpensive, probably about $500, something around there. Stem cells is going to be in the thousands. If you did BPC and TB-500, you're talking about $550. I would probably go that route. See if it helps. See if it's, you know, you're going to have to go on it for at least, 12 to 16 weeks possibly. You know, that's a normal dish. You could up the dose too as well. So that's just some options. You'll talk to the provider and they'll give you some more options if you want some. Cortisone shot though will get you by, but cortisone shot is not the end all be all. It masks it for a little bit and then it goes away.
Yeah, cortisone shots, they work great, but you don't really know what's happening.
Yeah.
You don't really know how much damage you're causing, so you got to be, I've gotten them before, you got to be careful when you get them. You can't just, oh, I can lift the weight, so I'm going to do it.
Yes.
You can't let your ego take over when you get those cortisone shots.
No, dude. I mean,
I have a couple of times. I'm like, my shoulder feels good, 100-pound laterals. And the next thing you know, the cortisone wears off. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
All right. Broken line fishing apparel. I'm going to a place in North Florida on TRT and an estrogen blocker. 0.4 of
HRT,
I guess. And I am still like down, no energy, can't sleep. By the time I get to the gym after my 12-hour day, I'm basically done. Okay, so.
How long have you been taking it?
Yeah, so how long have you been taking it? That's one. Two, have you done a blood test because you're taking an estrogen blocker? Maybe it might be too much. Maybe you're not getting enough. That's one thing to do. The other thing is the add-back therapy. So Drew talks about it all the time, and so do I, obviously. But when we talk about HRT for males, we want to have a couple different things that are going along with it. One, the aromatase inhibitor, the estrogen blocker. It seems like they've got you on one. Now we got to see if those levels are going to be good. But the third portion would be like enclomiphene or HCG as an add-back therapy to make sure the testicles don't stop working. And you're getting the semen production. You're getting that natural production, not shutting off. You'll feel a lot better. It complements the testosterone and the estrogen blocker. That's the best way I can say. And now, if you still need energy, ECA Stack Plus.
No, I mean, I don't mean to be too specific, but what John said, depending on what they're giving you. I've seen clinics or places prescribe anastrozole at a milligram every day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Which is high, which is very high.
That's a lot.
So, I mean, if you're doing that could bring you to a complete crash.
Yeah.
Like John said, if your estrogen gets too low, people are like, oh, I don't like estrogen, so I'm going to double up. And don't do that, because first of all, you run out, and then you're going to be going the other way. But if your estrogen, you have to keep it right in check. That's why the blood work's so important.
For
if
sure.
If it gets too low, you're going to be too tired. If it gets too high, you're going to be too tired. So it's like...
And erection problems.
Yeah, libido goes downhill. Either way, if it's too high, I mean, you got to make sure it's level. Make sure it's... And don't just take an estrogen blocker because you're on HRT.
Yeah.
Some people don't need it. I mean, there's rare cases where guys, that maybe they not need it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. People get so worried about estrogen and gyno and this and that they start taking more and more and more. They don't realize that they're causing more of a problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about harmonic balance. Not taking over what you should. I mean, because you think, one, you're going to gynecomastia or whatever it is, or you don't like estrogen.
Yeah.
You have to have a little bit of insulin in your body, all right?
Yeah. Letrozole. I've seen guys.
Suicide AI.
They'll take anastrozole, which is also known as Rimadex. They'll take that as prescribed or, you know, a normal dosage. And they're like, I still feel tired or I still feel a certain way.
Yeah.
So then they'll start taking letrozole, which just kills 99% of your estrogen.
Yeah.
So once they do that, now they're really done. And then now the rebound from that is when your estrogen gets really, really low, you can't just bring it back quick. Like the rebound, the side effects are lingering.
Mm-hmm.
So if your libido is completely shot and your estrogen's low, like get your blood work, get it in check, because you're not just going to wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're in a relationship, this and that. You don't just wait it out and have her thinking something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just get it done correctly. You know, the same reason why females get checked up, they let us know what's going on with their body. We got to do the same thing. We kind of just don't say anything, or, you know, I'm too tired, or, you know, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Women will be like, I can't right now because the doctor said blah, blah, blah. We don't say anything. You know, we have our testosterone fluctuations, just like they have the estrogen, you know.
It's true.
So a woman has, you know, hormonal, she's PMSing, we're testosteroning, you know.
Yeah.
Because it can go up and down depending on what we're doing, or if we take something and stop. If it's not done correctly, these guys do HRT on their own, they just stop cold turkey.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're moody and all this stuff. They don't know why.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of having a woman that's going through, you know, her cycle and stuff. It's the same fluctuation. That's why everything needs to be...
Everything just level. Drops and flops. You know?
Yeah.
And then some things go up that you don't want to, right?
You'll have an extreme high libido, then nothing.
Yes. You know? Testosterone's in the dumps, your estrogen's real high, and you're sensitive, you're moody, you're irritable, you're put on fat, you're losing those gains that you possibly got with the testosterone or whatever you're taking at that point. So,
well, for females, it could be the flip side. For females, I've seen females, especially bodybuilders, where their libido is too high, it was uncontrollable. Because their side effects go the other way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So if their hormones aren't in line and they're taking testosterone, they don't need it, they get an enlarged clitoris. What that means is it's sensitive, so it's literally throbbing all day long, so they can't control their libido all day long. So it's bad. So you got to make sure everything is in. Yeah.
I love it.
That's irreversible, too.
So. I love it. Roman's Loft. So we're getting over to YouTube. We're not going to go away from any of your questions. So if you ask a question on here, we're going to answer it. So stay on the lives. Roman's Loft said, good afternoon, Big Titan. What's going on, Roman? How you guys doing? What is a good stack for muscle growth? So muscle growth. So, I mean, this could be a wide variety of different things from MK677 to Tessa Marlin.
We should do like an ultimate muscle growth
package.
Yeah, like IGF, HRT.
IGF, yeah, that's another good one too.
Like, yeah.
You know, so those three are going to be your best. You know, if you got a very clean diet, then MK677, if you can control that.
It's so crazy. I would put that disclaimer. If you have
if you do.
It's almost like warning.
Like, if you don't, like let's say you're not in shape right now.
Your kids.
You're not going to go on MK.
Your kids' snacks are going to be gone within the first day.
Don't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
What I would do is listen, if you're not in shape, right, testosterone would probably be your best bet. At that point, you could use maybe some other things like CJC-1295, but testosterone is going to be the bigger, badder brother of that.
Testament almost seems like an MK without the hunger, with fat burning. It's like almost
it is
without so the water.
What I call it, what I would compare it to, because I know in the literature that we put out, I said like IGF-1 MK, but it doesn't create the hunger effect, because I've taken testament on that, so I know it doesn't create the hunger effect at all.
With what?
Like, testament? Yeah. So when you take testament, like it doesn't like just stimulate the ghrelin hunger hormone, so like you're not oh my god like MK.
Yeah.
But you're getting more of the benefit of, you know, one, it's an injectable. Two, we're talking about raising growth hormone levels probably just as high or higher than MK would.
Mm.
And you're not having any of the negative effects or side effects. So what I would say, it's more closer to IGF-1 and CJC-1295 and Iperelin. Because with CJC-1295 and Iperelin, they don't get the hunger effect either. So at that point, it's like, you know, you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, nothing that Titan has is giving me hunger except for MK.
That's it.
It's the only thing.
That's it. If you were with us in the beginning, GHRP2 and GHRP6 were out there, and from the pharmacies.
Yeah, GHRP6.
Those things, man.
Yeah, GHRP6, I took that a while ago, and it increased my hunger, but I didn't notice anything else.
Yeah, it needs to be put
MK, I noticed composition and the gym. GHRP6, all I noticed was just straight hunger. I didn't know it. So I was like, what's the point? I'm not really, for me, it just didn't do anything.
We used to put it with Semarelin, GHRP2, and GHRP6. Because you have to have it tagged along another GHRH.
Mine was just straight
GHRP6. It just won't work, yeah. But yeah, this is what it is. So, Roman, if you have any questions, please call or text us at 727-389-3220. Roman was actually our transformation winner for guys this year, too, as well. Yeah. So, big shout out to him.
Cruel Fate 843 has a good question. He said, how can you prevent kidney issues while on a high-protein diet? Mm. I would say it depends on what your protein source is first.
Yeah, I agree.
All protein that. Isn't created equal, and some can be more taxing on your kidneys than others.
Absolutely.
So it would just depend what type of protein, high-protein diet are you talking of. I've heard of people doing high-protein diets where it's just garbage shakes all day long because they're trying to get the protein in.
Yep.
Other guys are doing, you know, grass-fed bison. Yep. So, I mean, it just depends. Or eggs.
Yeah.
But I would say anything in terms of kidneys is a ton of water.
A ton of water.
Yeah. Lower your sodium, better quality foods. It's not so much the protein, it's the other food around it. So if you're having like six steak meals a day, I mean, that's fine if it's steak, rice, and water. Mm-hmm. But if you're adding a whole bunch of salt, a whole bunch of butter to every single meal, mm-hmm. and then all those fats and that high sodium throughout the whole day, it's like consistently filling your body with sodium and fat throughout the day, which is going to get your kidneys taxed even more.
Yeah.
High-fat diets, I'm not a fan of. Me neither. They can tax your kidneys as well because the oil doesn't really dissolve that well. So
I believe that. You know, and even with me, like, so, you know, I mean, I'm on a high-protein diet. I mean, I don't know how long. I'm talking about, 20 ounces of steak per day at least?
Yeah.
40 ounces of steak per day. So 2 10s a morning and 2 10s at night.
Yeah, I'm doing...
And then
30 ounces a day, and then eggs.
Then the eggs.
A dozen eggs a day and 30 ounces of steak. That's just a steak and eggs for me.
Yeah. I moved it to 14 eggs.
You do a 40 a day?
14 eggs, 40 ounces of steak, and then I have my lunch right now, which is like the from Protein House, the chicken and rice bowl, and I get the double protein in it. So, I mean, I think honestly, Drew had knocked it right in the head. Water. Dehydration is one of the biggest things that does tax the kidneys. Yeah. And controlling sugar levels. And then the other one would be blood pressure. Making sure your blood pressure. Now, when we were down in...
And that water and low sodium is going to lower your blood pressure too. So
it'll help for sure. 100%.
I mean, so a lot of people say they just know that, but some people don't realize that the more water you drink and the less sodium you have. And that doesn't mean just zero everything, but it's just, you know, you don't need to put salt on everything. Get low sodium foods if you can. Get sugar-free stuff if you can. No high fructose. Just get the most basic food you can. If you look at the back of a label or something, if the least ingredients is the best. So if you see, like, even Chick-fil-A. I mean, I saw something on Chick-fil-A. It was going to be one of my topics today where they have, like, some new thing they're adding to. I mean, they have, like, 53 ingredients in, like, a burger.
That's why I wouldn't eat it.
Yeah, get stuff that has, like, 2 ingredients or 3 ingredients. If it's steak or if it's whatever it is, you know, that is what's going to cause... you know, all the other issues.
Absolutely.
Back in the day, we didn't have all these ingredients.
No.
You know, even 90 years ago, 90% of these diseases never existed because none of the chemicals were in the food back then.
Absolutely,
none of them did.
Like, no, I know.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. I took boron and clomiphene. I don't know if it really did anything. This is YG Lee. Boron, I mean, I don't know about it in helping in clomiphene at all.
I don't know what boron is.
Boron's like something they take. It's like, I think it's to help sugar levels or something like that. Now, it's a supplement that I've seen a lot of some of these guys push. So, Jordan, what's going on? Mary Weeble, would your methylated B12 injections help boost my energy level? So tired all the time because of my thyroid being shot.
What type of medication are you on for your thyroid?
She's been going through the ringer, dude.
Like Armour or Cytomel or what?
She was with some other company and they sold her like semaglutide, and semaglutide has only like 2 counterindications, just 2, Drew. That's it. Like all the other rest of them have a million, right? And one is like if you have thyroid nodules. Mm. Well, they didn't look at her new patient paperwork or in the consultation, the provider didn't ask or whatever the hell went on. And at that point, they put on this medication. Mm. So it could have did more damage. It probably did. Mm. And at that point, like she's really feeling it. She's trying her best, you know, to get where she wants to go. And she's got these health issues that are arising from her thyroid. So the answer to your question, methylated B12 or any B12, right, is going to help if you're deficient in B12. So for example, if you took the methylated B12 or the regular cytocobalamin or hydroxycobalamin, it's going to raise the B12 levels. Even cyano. People, they complain about it all the time. It's derived from cyanide, like all this stuff. But the question is on a blood test, if you run a B12 panel. Where does that number come back? And I can tell you, anybody that's been on cyanocobalamin, methylcobalamin, they take 1,000 micrograms, that's 1 ml, and boom. And I guarantee, even maybe 4 or 5 days down the week, it's probably going to come back good or even high. Because you're getting B12 in like every food source that's out there almost.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the different things they put in there. So
that's another one thing I was going to mention too. People having low energy levels, they usually don't have really a clean diet. Like, I don't want to assume anything with her.
No, yeah.
But a lot of times, you know, if you're eating fast food and crappy food and sugar all day, then I wonder why my energy is low. So, yeah. I mean, that could be your diet too. I mean, if you're eating salmon, steak, yogurt, berries, eggs, it might increase your energy level a little bit if you start cleaning up your diet too. I know when I eat quality food, I feel better. If I go eat like 3 big monster cookies afterwards, I just want to crash on the couch.
That's what happens. It's like that sugar crash. That's what happens. So
go both ways.
Anything methylated is more bioavailable to the body. Sean Purcell is exactly right. Yeah. If I had to say, what is the top shelf B12? Is it methylated? Is it cyano? Is it hydroxy? I would definitely
no.
Methyl is. What? Methyl is the best. Methyl is the best. Methyl B12 is the best B12 that's out there.
See, I think cyano is just the main, most popular
it
one
is.
Everyone knows about. So that's the reason why I would think
it would be cyano. It works just as good.
Yeah.
So if somebody, I mean, yeah, you might get a little bit more out of it. But what I say is this. If I take cyanocobalamin or I take methylcobalamin or methyl B12, I don't care who it is. I'll put it to a Pepsi challenge for anybody out there. If you take it the next day or two, you're definitely going to be like above 2,000, 1,500. You're going to be way above and not deficient, guaranteed. I mean, but it's just the difference is, and this is why we use cyano in some of our products, is that methyl needs to be refrigerated. Cyano doesn't. So for me, if I got to take my Titan Complete, and let's say I'm going on the road or whatever it is, I don't have to keep it in the fridge or keep it cold.
Straight in the bag.
Yeah, I'm putting my backpack, man. Yeah. I'm going out. Maybe I'm in the bathroom of the airport. I can do an injection. Yeah. They got the sharps container. You can just toss it right in there. I mean, think about that.
That's another reason, too, why enclomiphen is so big right now, because a lot of people travel. A lot of people on HRT, and they're prescribed HCG with their testosterone prescription. So now with enclomiphen, they have to have to bring a little freezer pack. You have to get a little, you know, travel lunch box with an ice pack in your luggage just for HCG. Now enclomiphen's a capsule.
Yeah.
So you can take it with you. The testosterone doesn't have to be refrigerated. So as long as you're prescribed that, you could travel with that legally. It's in your name. It's
absolutely.
It's your medication. So I've seen people say, I'm on HRT. I have to go to, you know, Houston for the weekend. I got to take all my shots for the week because I'm like, if you're prescribed that, it's legal. You can take it with you.
Right.
They don't understand that, like, it's legal. Like, you could take that with you.
Yeah.
You could literally have it in your travel on, like, right through checkout. They could open it, look at it, say, what's this? You could say, it's my medication. Like, it's made for you. I mean, the liquid thing, if it's too much liquid, that's one thing, but it's your medication.
Guys.
Like, it's not illegal.
I've traveled all around the world. All around the world for 11 and a half years. My backpack is my bug out bag. Yeah. I've got every medication. I got everything. And well,
he has like Walgreens, CVS.
200 needles on me, guaranteed. And I got 2 big, like 5 gallon or whatever, maybe 2 gallon Ziploc bags.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nuts. And I've
never
been stopped, ever. Yeah. Now, have I seen or heard other people get stopped? Absolutely.
Yeah.
If they have their prescription in their prescription bottle, they don't even say anything.
Yeah, because they're looking in. It's not like they're going in with like a Ziploc bag full of tablets.
Right.
It's in an orange or whatever color it is, prescription bottle with your name on it, has lot numbers, pharmacy numbers, everything. Yeah. It's legal. It's legal. You know?
Yeah.
You could have it in your car even if you're getting pulled over. I wouldn't recommend storing it in your car because the sunlight and the temperature will damage the testosterone after a certain temperature.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people get so paranoid because they're thinking. What happens is people did it illegally, and then now everything is legit. They're going through it. Everything is, so they still have that mindset where they're like, oh, I got to be careful. It's no different from having, you know, a prescription for your because you got your tooth pulled or anything like that. It's the same thing.
Yeah. It's true. It's definitely true. I mean, now, I have had people go through without their prescription bottles and all that, and they definitely got stopped.
Yeah, because they open it up, they see some random research bottle, big jug that says research purposes, and just all it says is testosterone with no pharmacy, no number, no anything, no SKU, nothing.
I mean, it's just it's crazy. So at that point, like, if you're doing it the right way, you have nothing to worry about, and it's the best way to do it.
It's safe too. I mean,
it is.
A lot of people are literally risking getting arrested every time they leave or do something just because. I mean, what's more important? Having everything legit and paying a little bit more and doing it the right way, or being in fear every single time that you might get pulled over or arrested. Or if, what if you have a kid? What if you, who knows? Like, it's not good. You know?
Next question was from Jack Stan Fitness 1. I'm 47. Should I look into Titan? Absolutely.
Perfect age. Perfect
Absolutely. Age. I mean, I would just say, hey, listen, just right off the bat, I mean, you don't have to get any therapies, right? I would say run blood, right? And then. Yeah. Go through that, see what's going on, and then if you want to dial in some other different things or got some other different health or fitness goals, maybe start attacking those too as well.
And from everything you've heard with Titan, what makes you want to come to Titan, and why would you utilize Titan? Yeah. Everybody comes here for different reasons, whether it's weight loss, skin, hair, nails, whatever, blood pressure, anything, ED,
just general health.
Yeah,
you know.
So what are you looking to come to Titan for?
What was the other one? All right, Jack. Cookie Monster said, "What's the difference between clomiphene and clomiphene?" So. Same family, different molecular structure. And you would think that, all right, it's really similar when you take it and they both do almost the exact same thing as far as igniting testosterone levels and raising them up by igniting LH, FSH. So at that point, there is a difference though. So clomiphene is one that was originally out. And at that point, like if you take it, yes, it would raise levels. But patients would still can be complaining about low testosterone symptoms at 700 or 800. And we've seen this all the time. The second thing is that it has really bad side effects. So at that point, like negative thoughts, suicidal thoughts, all these different things. Now, I never had suicidal thoughts, but I did have negative, darker thoughts than I would ever have in my life. So at that point, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to take this medication anymore. And like I said, I take all these medications to be able to give my, you know, experience, I guess, of what happened with me. So I can at least talk about it and be like, this is what happened to me. Like, this might not happen to you, but this is kind of what I got. But in clomiphene is definitely a game changer. You don't get those dark, deep thoughts. It raises testosterone levels really well. And a lot of patients, if they do take it naturally, start getting some sort of symptom relief. Now, utilizing with testosterone has been the best thing I think I've done in a long time. And it's a capsule, so it's a lot easier than taking the ACG. You know, I mean, a lot of people were stuck up on one injectable. Well, we still offer ACG, so at that point you can still have it. But, you know, I would definitely have, and I would have in clomiphene just in case you want to travel or anything like that. And you know, if you're getting like a 3-month therapy package, you could probably utilize ACG and clomiphene in on and off versions if you want to. You know, go in between each other a month, I guess.
Yeah, and again, if you're sensitive to estrogen, I would stay away from clomiphene. Stay away from ACG. Yeah. ACG tends to raise your estrogen a little bit more than in clomiphene.
Yeah.
And I've noticed it does. I've noticed people get edema off high dose ACG as well.
It does. All right. So Tudac would be good for the kidneys, Seth Jordan. Okay. All right. So that might be, I don't know if that's true or not.
There was someone in there that had a.
That's awesome, though. I mean, because kidneys. Liver is a lot easier, I think, to take off.
On YouTube, there was like one of the YouTube streams, there was a question I saw. I'm not sure.
Well, there's one that says, can you take tirzepatide with tesamorelin? So, yes, you can definitely take those two together, and you'll definitely get a great result from both of them. You know, you're not going to be overlapping or anything like that. Tirzepatide is going to, you know, harness the eating habits, per se. It's going to slow down hunger. And at that point, it's going to help slow down digestion. It's going to help with hemoglobin A1C, which is your sugar levels. So that's a big, big difference right there. Testosterone is going to raise growth hormone levels, and it's going to target belly fat. So it's a great killer combination there. TT, baby, all the way.
Yeah.
What else we got here? Seth Jordan said testosterone doesn't affect your GRON. Yes, we went over that because at that point you don't get no hunger spikes with testosterone, but you get all the big benefits of growth hormone raising and targeting belly fat, visceral fat.
There we go. Mary Wibble, I think it's Wibble. She said, I eat clean eggs, chicken, fish, tuna, broccoli, and asparagus. I'm doing Michael Hearn's Blitz meal plan. I'm on your TRT now in high dose T3, T4. My thyroid is still low. Ultrasound is Thursday. So it's good. It's good eating a good clean diet. I mean, Mike's always on point with his meals. So
yeah.
Chicken, fish, tuna, everything looks good right there.
Yeah. She's better than mine as far as broccoli and asparagus. I don't eat those greens. So you got me there. I don't eat tuna either. So
they need to make an asparagus like a dried into a powder where you could just mix it with water.
Yeah.
Like not like with a whole bunch of greens, like literally dried asparagus, pounded, grinded into a, and put it in.
Like a seasoning?
No, like so you could just mix it with like a green drink, like mix it with some water. Like,
I gotcha.
Because asparagus, I want to put it into my diet, but it's just so stringy and hard to eat in my teeth and the digestion.
Yeah. I don't like asparagus.
I don't like it at all. They have pickled asparagus now. It looks just like pickles in a pickle jar.
What?
It's pickled asparagus, yeah. Definitely. But, I mean, that kind of defeats the purpose because you're putting so much sodium everywhere.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, maybe it probably work because it's crazy because asparagus will dehydrate you.
Yeah.
And then they're putting sodium in it, which is basically water.
Yeah.
So it's like two different avenues. Yeah. Like, do you want to lose the water weight? Do you want to gain it? I mean, are you eating it just for the taste?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. I don't know.
Yeah. So I've been looking into, even this goes good for you guys. Maybe you guys have more information on this than I do because I really don't look at things like this. But I'm like looking for like a snack that's more healthier at night, right? Because I do start getting a little bit hungry at night. I don't eat a lot of carbs a day. So I'm like, all right, what can I eat? Because I obviously don't want to eat like chocolate muffins or like anything like that. Yeah. I want to get dialed in for the summer. So I started looking at like protein chips. And the Quest has one. It's like a barbecue one. And there's these pop chips. There's another barbecue one. So I've been trying them, but I just want to make sure my sodium stays in check too.
Yeah. You know? I know there's some good ones, like not like the name brand ones, but there's like good ones.
Yeah. Those I got an like off-brand one. It's like these pop chip ones.
Yeah. They're better. Usually the off-brand stuff like that's better. Yeah. I don't know, like.
It tastes better.
Yeah, like usually like a health food store, like a store, they'll have like some weird purple bag and the chip is black and it's like, but it tastes good and it's like a couple ingredients. So.
Yeah. Recall that for people who have excess belly fat, high protein diet equals elevated glucose, high insulin fat gain. High protein diet?
No.
I mean, so let's really break it down, I guess. I mean, to a certain extent. Now, I guess, you know, as far as sugar levels go, that it's, you know, this could be a little bit different as far as genetic wise, how good your diet's been previous and all these other things. But I mean, protein is really what you want to get into the body to be able to sustain muscle, grow muscle. And at that point, you know, you really don't want to, if you were to X out carbohydrates, and now I'm not saying to X out carbohydrates completely out of your diet, but if you carb cycle or anything like that, you're usually going to lose weight. Carbs or any sugary drinks, whether it's Gatorade or whatever it is, I mean, that's going to really stack fat on you more. If you were just to eat, let's say we just eat chicken and quarter cup of rice every day, every meal, you're probably not going to gain belly fat there. But you might be in a deficient calorie level too, depending on how much chicken
I don't believe what he's saying if it's within reason. Like a high protein diet is within reason. When people hear high protein, like some people go extreme. Like they hear Ronnie Coleman did 500-600 grams and they feel like, oh, I'm gonna do that too. Like, first of all, you're not 300 pounds, you're not Ronnie Coleman.
Right.
You don't need like 600 grams of protein per pound body.
Right, no,
unless you're Brian Shaw and you weigh 450 pounds. Yeah. I mean, he literally probably needs 600 because he weighs 450.
You're doing like a gram, maybe a gram and a half of being extreme.
Yeah, a gram and a half is not extreme.
You don't think so? I mean, like if you're trying to gain, that's like normal. The way to do it, right?
Yeah, it's pretty normal. A gram to a gram and a half is normal. But I mean, when people, like say, for instance, if it's a woman and she weighs 120 pounds and she's taking in like 300 grams of protein, that would be too high.
Yeah.
Because what she's doing is she's doing 50-gram protein shakes 3 a day and then she's doing like 4 meals with 50 grams.
Yeah.
Then it becomes too high. But I mean, if you're doing like, you know, a gram to gram and a half of the right protein, I really don't see that causing any problems at all.
Except, I mean, you don't
unless you have any serious like kidney issues.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, if you're a healthy person, I can't see why that would. I've always seen extreme protein diets where people lose weight, they lose belly fat.
I usually do on high protein diets too as well, depending on what the protein source is.
And the timing too of your protein. If you're only having 2 meals a day and you're eating a big meal right before you go to bed, that's different. But if you're spacing out your protein, quality protein throughout the day, I mean, you're going to look better, feel better. I mean, you can do steak only diets, steak and salt. There's a new thing now where it's a steak and salt diet. I've seen it all over the internet. but they don't do high salt.
Are you talking about just pinch?
Yeah, like just a little bit. Right. They have this new thing, steak and salt diet, steak, salt, and water. And people are like losing inflammation. It's the craziest thing ever. All these years of no red meat and, you know. So I was actually thinking about doing it like a steak and eggs diet. Mm-hmm. With no carbs, mm-hmm. I'd suffer and just deal with it, just to see if I could do it. Like, see if I could do 30 days with no carbs, steak and eggs. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably be spending a lot eating a ton because you get so hungry.
Absolutely.
I could eat a dozen eggs and be hungry in 30 minutes, but it might work.
What else we got here?
He said, we do the work and they say it's fine. It was TRT 0.2 times a week. Quarter of a pill of estrogen blocker 2 times a week. So I'm assuming that's an anastrozole.
Yeah, so that's like 0.25.
Either 0.25 or 0.2 times a week.
Well, it's a quarter of a pill, so it's a 0.25.
Yeah, because I'm not assuming if it was a 0.5, though. It'd be like a...
real low. He wouldn't, it's just a pill. If it was a capsule, one thing.
Yeah.
So it usually be like a 1 milligram pill. Usually, we're just going by what we usually do.
So you're doing half a milligram a week?
And then he's doing, not even ml. He's doing 0.8, depending on what the milligram per ml is, because that could be 200, that could be 225. I've seen some different variations out there from pharmacies. Mm. But usually it's 200. So at that point, you know, you're taking 0.8. So you're taking, 180 milligrams a week?
Mm.
0.25. So... I really got to see blood work on you, man, at this point. Been out 4 months. The first two felt great. They're going to feel great. The first two usually do, no matter what. But then you start getting those conversions, and then you start getting the problems. I would definitely blood test and see where everything's at. Be consistent with your medications when you do. And at that point, adjust and then retest. If you want somebody to look at it that knows what they're doing and can really dial you in, give us a call or text, 727-389-3220. If you're going to go your route, whatever you're doing right now, get a blood test. Test free and total testosterone levels. Test estradiol levels. And just see where those levels are at. You don't have to do anything really crazy. Now, if your free testosterone is low still. Because I didn't see original blood work, and we didn't talk about that. But sometimes total testosterone is high. Free testosterone is low. And at that point, or both, and you go on testosterone, and it raises up. But see... The only thing that I would say that it probably wouldn't be that is that you've been on it 4 months. The first 2 months felt great. If in the first 2 months you didn't feel good, I would say, hey, listen, this might be an issue. But
that might be something where clomiphene could be thrown in.
Absolutely.
Because if you're doing that now, that seems like almost natural test. Like, I don't know. It just seems like clomiphene would be something that would
definitely help boost it. For sure.
Sean also said high clomiphene equals high glucose equals. Whenever I see people write stuff like that, it's like it sounds good on paper, or even if I have a glucose meter and all that, it could say I'm this, I'm that. But I know for me, if I eat high protein, I'm not going to have any of that. So in terms of like studies and all that, it's just like
everybody's different. Exactly. Everybody's body will process different to a certain extent. So you know, even genetics does play a role in this. Huge. I'm not saying it's the end all be all. I'm not saying if it's your genetic code from one of your previous, you know, parents or grandparents or whatever it is, you know, it doesn't mean you're guaranteed to get the exact same thing. Mm. But, you know, at that point, it's got to be out there. It's still got to be brought up. Like, hey, listen, what do the genetics look like too as well? And were these blood tests done beforehand? You know, because I would say this, if somebody wanted to prove a point to that or even just check to see if this is going to be the right diet for me. Mm. Blood test originally, your full cholesterol panel, HDL, LDL, triglycerides, total cholesterol, and the ratio, and take it for the Pepsi Challenge. Eat like that for 30 to 60 days. Yeah,
that's what I always tell people.
Read blood test. It's a $25 blood test for a medical center just to get a cholesterol panel. $25.
Yeah. Hey, if you guys want to know like what it is, just do it. Like,
you know?
I could sit here and talk all day long about how, you know, red meat's bad for you, but if I eat it every day and everything feels great and everything's coming along, it really isn't. Yeah. So that's something similar to something that I did even before I got into like the fitness industry, like so to speak, like actually doing it for like a living or whatever. Before that, I used to just do trial and error. I'd hear about something. Oh, yogurt, this thing's bad for your stomach. Oh, okay, I'll eat it for a couple weeks so I feel. And I was literally for years and years just eating stuff and just And now I have, you know,
my You know what it is. You've dialed it in.
Yeah, I've done it. But I've also heard other people say, don't do this, don't do that. Look at the source. Like, literally look at the source. Don't just look at where they read the information. Look at the person that's telling you the information. Mm-hmm. If they don't look the part, then I don't really, it's bad to say it, but I don't really.
You don't trust it.
If someone's 100 pounds overweight telling me how to be healthy, I'm not really going to.
Right.
It's kind of in one ear, out the other. Sure. Even if they know what they're talking about, that's what's weird. That's what's bad is even if these people do know what they're talking about, you look at them and you're like, why should I listen to you? Because you don't. Clearly
you're not the example.
Yeah, exactly.
You should like be a divorce example, right?
Marriage counselor. You can't be a divorce marriage counselor.
It's true, man. It's so true. So, I mean, you know, definitely. And listen, if you listen to everybody's advice, man, you'll get pulled in so many different directions and you definitely won't get to where you need to go. You need to stay consistent with what you're going to do and then follow through. Like I said, you got to test to make sure, one, you got a baseline, and then two, you're being consistent with whatever you're doing with when you do the blood test. So at that point, you can see exactly how things have changed. And you can start tracking the trends, per se, over months. You don't even have to do it the second month. You can get 3 months, 90 days down the road, see how things have progressed and got better.
Yeah.
And obviously, you're going to be able to see in the mirror, too. I mean, things will start changing 60 to 90 days.
Yeah.
If you change your diet to that extreme.
Yeah, if you could do that, that's your life changes.
You're going to make some changes physically on the outside. And then on the inside, you can blood test and see exactly where you're at.
Yeah, it's very hard. There's very few things you do in life where you do it and you don't see an immediate result. Mm-hmm. Like someone go to the gym and work out for 3 hours every day for a whole week, look in the mirror and see not a single change.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like with the food and everything like that. You got to give it time to, I mean, people get discouraged after two. Oh, I tried it. How long? A couple of weeks. It didn't work. It's really not even kicking in at that point. Right. Your body's getting used to everything.
Right.
Even your digestive tract has to get used to all the new food and timing of the food and everything. So. Yeah. 60 to 90 days, I'd say 60. If you can't do 60 days of strict diet with no cheats, and whether you go to the gym or not, it's not for you.
Definitely not. All right, so if you guys got any more questions, shoot them out. If not, let's cover these topics. We got 5 minutes, right?
5 minutes.
15 minutes left.
15 minutes.
All right. So you want to tackle the first one with DeSantis?
Yeah, first one, Governor DeSantis. He's the governor here in Florida. Signs bill to tackle retail theft, porch pirates in Florida. Basically, you know, as people have been seeing these videos, smash and grab, people go in. And it really started around the whole time with the pandemic where people had to wear masks.
Yeah.
And no one could really see anybody. So people basically just go into a store. They smash the glass and grab jewelry, grab whatever and go.
Yeah.
He's finally putting that in place where he's like, because I know in California you could walk in, grab what you want, and leave, and they can't do anything.
Right, up to a certain amount of money, they won't prosecute.
Yeah, and these people know exactly. They Google how much everything costs. They go in there and they grab $20 less than the amount. And they
I've seen the videos of the people having the calculator right there on their phone, and they're calculating it as they go.
And
what are we talking about?
Yes,
like, you know.
But the thing is, if I see a whole bunch of people with a whole bunch of clothes and they're about to run out, I don't know how much that is. So why can't I stop them?
Exactly.
To figure out how much it is.
They
can't even stop them at all. So.
Well, some people in these stores have actually tried the salespeople and then they got fired by the companies.
Oh yeah, they try to stop it. Yeah, I saw one guy put his arm out and like he literally stopped it. Stopped it and they were still like, no.
I mean, you think they'd be happy for not getting their merchandise stolen, right? Or at least trying to get it back.
But I think. It's good when it works, but if it could be bad. It could be the guy pulls out a gun or a knife and So I think they're just doing like the safety of the person rather than just merchandise.
Yeah.
But another thing too is the porch pirates. If you guys don't know what a porch pirate is, basically all these people ordering Amazon nowadays, getting boxes every single day.
Yeah.
They just drop the box in front of their door. Basically what they're doing is these people are just going to their house and just literally just taking the box when people are home. And a lot of these people don't even know what's in the box. So they're risking all this just to, I mean, what if they grow up in the box and it's like a, you know, a girl's t-shirt and it's a grown man stealing. Who knows what it is?
Right.
So, but yeah, I'm glad they're finally doing that because, I mean, luckily my building is set up different where people can't really, but people that have houses, all those boxes in front of your house be gone. And once it's gone, you're like, yeah, it says it was delivered.
Yeah,
they
send
you a picture, and the picture's sitting. They're like, nope, it was delivered. It was sitting right on top of your doormat at this time.
And then, you know what the thing is like.
Did you see the kid with the trash can?
Uh-uh.
This kid had a trash can, a trash bag, in a disguise. It was like a costume of a trash bag.
Oh, my God.
It looked like a black trash bag, and he was in it. He was going like this, slow by slow, all the way up to the door and took a package. You can Google it right now. A guy,
oh, my God.
He had a trash bag. So now people are getting like creative with it. And now people have drones. So if you have a drone, you can literally just be flying around, picking up packages.
Scouting too.
Picking up packages and dropping them off to wherever all day long. So luckily, he put this in. I think it's like 5 years.
Good. He's cracking down a lot of different
third degree felony punishable 5 years in prisons for retail theft. Second degree felony, I can't even say this, felony punishable 15 years. And first degree felony, 30 years. I know a girl that just got on Instagram. I saw a video. She stole something and she was supposed to get like, I don't know, like months or something like that. And she didn't have a plea deal. So now she has 30 years. They gave her 30 years over some small, because she didn't understand. She's like, no, I don't want to do the plea. And they're like, we'll give you 3 years. She's like, I don't want to do it. Or, like, she didn't understand it. And then now 30 years.
Yikes.
So just imagine getting 30 years from stealing a t-shirt out of a store or something
Yikes.
Like that.
Yikes.
No more porch pirates.
Yeah, no more thieves, period, man.
Just check your camera and you can just see them walk up.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Most people have like Ring or some sort of doorbell like camera where
everyone has if you have a house now, everyone has a Ring. Like everyone has a camera.
That's what
now.
I'm saying.
It doesn't matter. It's almost like even people in the bad neighbors I see
Yeah.
That's even more reason to have you in a bad neighborhood with a camera on your door.
I lived in a bad neighborhood, I'd have a couple cameras on the outside just to see what's going on.
Yeah.
If I was a criminal living in an area, I would have the Ring doorbell camera to see if the cops were coming or who was driving by my house.
Yeah, like constantly. There's cameras everywhere.
Now. I mean, come on. I mean, even at my house, man, I got 35 cameras inside, outside. And I've got the door camera or the Ring.
Yeah.
And like even yesterday, I wasn't home. My dad was home, but he just got his tooth pulled, so I didn't want to bother him. So the Lamborghini got dropped off. Now the driver wanted to park inside the garage because I'm going on a rally tomorrow. So I'm like, all right, cool. I want to make sure that he parked it correctly, and I could see exactly what went on. Mm. In my garage door opener, there are cameras in it, and there's two-way mics. I'm literally talking to this guy through my garage door opener in the garage and seeing it. And it's motion sensitive.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I get to see everything that's going on. I get to talk to people. Like, hey, like, what are you doing? You know, I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Technology. It's crazy. Pretty soon you're walking through your house just talking about,
it's nuts. You know, I mean, so yeah, technology is a good thing for sure. Now
it's good for theft, but it's also bad in terms of like cybercrime.
Yeah,
like cybercrime.
It's true.
A bad.
Yeah, I mean, and privacy—you get no privacy
at all. I saw a drone flying outside my window the other day. For this, like the second or third time, it's annoying. Like
that is annoying.
Yeah, I live on a tall floor, so it's like I see it going around, and it's like going. I see it go to near other buildings, and like,
man.
Like wherever they find out who it is going to be like.
Wow. No.
You can't just fly up to someone's and just look through their window.
No, it's like keeping times.
And the thing is, you can't even really say that like, it was a mistake or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I live in the 20th floor. How is that going to be a mistake to you? All the way up there, you're not just going down the street passing by houses like. Mm-hmm. But those drones, I mean, I can't say. It's going down one of these days.
Yeah, for sure.
Someone's going to take it down. It's going to be me, but after a while, someone's going to throw a rock up there or grab it or do something where, I don't know. Those drones are getting bad.
They are.
They're getting bad. And I saw some things.
They can track them.
They're going to have airspace, but you could buy airspace coming up soon, where you could literally buy a pocket of air up above.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I was doing the other day. You could buy pockets of air, like they're going to in the future.
I want to buy some pockets
because everything's going to be in the air.
That's dope.
So the same reason why buy acre of land, you could buy acre of layer on your coordinates, like above, it's over here above this. That's my air pocket. Then it's going to be like a no-fly zone where if you're coming up,
Who sells that? Who has the rights to sell something like that?
Who knows?
That is crazy. Because
they're going to start utilizing the air now.
I can definitely see that because the air taxis and all these things are coming. I definitely see that. Aipa Muzura, Shoahtani's former interpreter, is charged with bank fraud for stealing more than $16 million from Shoahtani to cover gambling debts.
$16 million for debts and gambling. That's why I don't gamble.
So at that point, that's one thing. But this has got Shoahtani in a ton of hot water. And the federal government got involved when this story first broke. And they were talking about a couple million at that point. The Justice Department just came out and said they're going to formally charge him. And that he stole more than $16 million in these bets. So, obviously everybody knows, if you guys don't know, Pete Rose was the original guy who got banned from baseball and cannot get in the Hall of Fame to this day because he was betting on baseball. And at that point, anybody that bets on baseball and they're a player, they're going to get blackballed like you wouldn't believe. Worse than steroids or anything like that. So with this, this was a big deal. Luckily, Shohei Ohtani, and I don't see the MLB ever wanting to mess with him, because at that point, he's the golden boy of the MLB. This guy is a phenomenal pitcher. He's a phenomenal hitter. I mean, home runs, I mean, every whole nine. And at that point, like, he's a, what, $500 million man?
So, half a billion.
You know, at that point, like, with this interpreter or whatever happened here. Now, if I was Shohei Ohtani, I'd probably know what's going on more with my funds than my interpreter does. I would have a, if I, listen, if I had that amount of money, or I was getting that amount of money, going to get paid, I'd definitely have just my own bookkeeper, financial guy. It was just, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And if there was crazy amount of charges, because $60 million, that's not like $1,000. That's not like $100,000. We're talking about millions and millions of dollars. This is something that raises red flags. Like, why is your interpreter, or if he was, maybe he was logging into Shohei's accounts and then transferring the money like that. I don't know. I don't know.
Or he was just interpreting it wrong. He could be like, yeah, it's going to be 8%, but it's really, you know, 12 or something like that.
Because
everything is, he's interpreting. So I could be like,
yeah,
hey, John, I need this. And the interpreter said, he doesn't need that.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I don't know. Trusting, when people have interpreters, they're trusting them a lot. Because it's like the fly. It's live interviews on the fly. Like, not only do they have to say what you say, they have to have a sense of like who you are, because they want to represent you well.
Right, right, right.
So they're not just going to go on there and, you know, say like, make you look bad as a person.
Yeah.
So, it's like almost reflects who you are.
Hopefully this guy's going to get the book thrown at him for sure. They're going to make an example, and he might be the scapegoat in this whole situation. Who knows? Shohei is obviously like, I mean, I have high respect for Shohei Ohtani as a player and as a person, just because of, like, you see some of his documentary stuff and you see like how this guy grew up, and I'm telling this guy was, he was dedicated right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm there. I got it. Well, I don't know his story at all. All I know is he's a ridiculous,
like, dude. Like, even over where he's from, dude, they were like, all right, like, you know, he could have went to the MLB, but he was going to play with there first. And at that point, like, he told the guys, because nobody goes to the major leagues and says, I'm going to pitch and I'm going to hit. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
When you're a pitcher, and that's it, and you don't hit. Unless, you know, something happens where they have to throw you in the lineup to hit. But it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So at that point, like, you know, over there, he proved himself, and obviously when he came over here and he was on the Angels, he did phenomenal. I mean, he's broken a lot of Babe Ruth's records, and he's created his own records already.
He's almost too good of a player. He's like too good. Like,
he's good. He's good.
Physically, he's the perfect height. He's weight. He can hit.
Yeah, pitch, he's a big guy, dude.
Yeah,
he's big.
I wonder if he played in Little League World Series at all.
I don't think he did.
No.
Look, super laser focused all the way from young to now, because they showed some of his classwork and stuff like that, and it was just like he had a plan of how he was going to get to the MLB, what he was going to do every year to get him better to do it. I mean, it was like something like,
so literally a match perfect story with dude, and he has the highest paid ever. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, it was just crazy.
It's good for young kids to see that too.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So I couldn't see them wanting to damage the reputation, because he's a big seller. His jerseys, I mean, his car, I mean, everything is just through the roof. So. We'll see, I guess. Speedy eating and late night meals.
Speedy eating, late night meals. Basically, I'll go fast on this. It's not good to eat so fast. I eat extremely fast.
Me too.
So, and I've had digestion and bloating issues in the past. So this caught my attention. This says most people acquaint with short-term gastrointestinal effects by eating too quickly, which include ingestion, gas, bloating, and nausea. Regularly eating too fast can cause long-term consequences.
Ooh.
So it's one thing if you're eating too fast, like you're in a rush, but if you're consistently eating too fast for long term, could have side effects, long term consequences. Basically, if you're eating, literally scuffing your phone down too fast. So the faster it goes down, I've always heard things, and I've even told other people this: the slower you eat, the better.
Mm-hmm.
But just like when I'm hungry, I just want to force it down. It's like hard for me to eat slow. Not only that, your brain has a signal. I forget where it was. So 20 minutes, I believe what it is.
Yeah, it's a little higher.
Yeah, it's a little bit higher.
No, it's really high.
Yeah, 20 minutes. It takes approximately 20 minutes for the stomach to alert the brain of feeling of fullness. So if you're eating quicker than that, that's why a lot of times people eat a plate of food. They'll say, let me get another one at the restaurant. Let me order another one. They're like, wait a minute, let me just wait. If you wait a little bit, 5 minutes, you really not let that fullness kick in.
Right.
But when you eat so fast, you eat one plate, then you eat two, then you may eat three, and then it's just overload. And you can only take in so much protein at one time, and your stomach's full. And if it doesn't excrete properly, then you're not going to be able to get more food back in.
Right.
So, it's not good to eat fast. I try to slow it down. From me switching from steak to, like, ground beef and ground turkey has helped. When I'm eating ground beef, it is, like, literally my tongue just pushes against the roof of my mouth and I swallow. I don't chew at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not good too. You're supposed to chew a lot too, which also helps. Don't eat too fast if you can. It says 20 to 25% of people with obesity actually have rapid gastric emptying. As a result, they don't feel as full. They eat a meal, they might impact the total volume of food they eat before they even feel full. So again, wait a little bit. You know, maybe drink a glass of water after your meal and wait 5 minutes.
Water is definitely ready to go.
Yeah. Sometimes people say don't sip water while you're eating because it helps with digestion. I'm not a fan of that. I don't get that. I've even tried that or even told some of my clients in the past to do that. But if it's, that could cause other problems too. You know, if you're slow sipping while you're eating, it's more liquid to get everything to flush out.
I think we're time. At the end here. Yeah. Time. So listen, guys, been a great show with you guys. We appreciate you guys. You guys have a great weekend. We appreciate you guys tuning in, and we will see you next Friday.